Good morning. This is the first time I ever have the last session, so it's a little different for me. I think I'm used to having the first session. That felt good. I just have some things that are on my heart, and forgive me if I kind of jump around a bit. In fact, I'm trying to find a, here it is, verse. Oh. Sorry, my V8 energy drink hasn't kicked in yet. I'd like to read this one verse just to start out, and then I've got a couple of things that I was just going to mention. But this is Lamentations chapter 3, verse 21 through 26. You can turn there if you want, or if you don't, I'm going to read it out of the King James or the Authorized Version. And this is Jeremiah here. "This I recall to mind, therefore I have hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness." Great is Thy faithfulness. "The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in Him. Not in me, not in man, but in Him." "The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him." I love that. "It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord." Him, Christ. I wanted to start right there just with this passage because, for one thing, with all the scriptures, I'm thinking of this verse in Isaiah where they write, "There's none righteous, no, not one." You could probably add, "There's none loving, no, not one. There's none faithful, no, not one. There's none righteous, no, not one." There's none, just add whatever term you want in the scripture. There's none. 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 "Great is Thy faithfulness." A hope that is in Him is a hope that is not in vain. A hope, expectation, that is in Him, is an expectation that is not in vain. Now, when I say in Him, I mean He Himself. That's what we read. "Thy faithfulness, therefore will I hope in Him." It didn't say what He can do for me or what He can do. No,
I will hope in Him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him. To the soul that seeketh Him.
I so greatly appreciate the Lord, because sometimes I try to find that faithfulness in myself, like I'm faithful. It's funny, you would think that I would know by now that man is not faithful. You would think that I would know by now that there is no hope in man. Yet somehow I still continue deceiving myself, thinking that there's something good in man. When even David said, "My goodness is nothing apart from you." And even Paul, "In me, that is in my flesh, there's no good thing." There is always, and it will always be one or the other, either or. It will either be man, which is me, you, or it will be Christ. There's no mixture with God. The mixture's here, the mixture's here. There's no mixture with God. Either or. If He is faithful, guess what? I'm not faithful. If He is righteous, I'm not righteous. And that is a very liberating thing for me. And I'm so thankful to the Lord for His faithfulness. I'm thankful to God for His faithfulness unto His Son. I'm thankful to the Spirit of the Lord for His faithfulness unto the Son. God is faithful unto Christ. No man. No man. God is. No man is faithful. God is. It's funny, I was thinking about this. I have this part-time job, and every once in a while they do... this is terrible if any employees are watching this. Every once in a while they do this thing where you know, they're giving away money. You know, you can if you buy X amount, you get these tickets, and you can win this, you can win that, you can win this, you can win that. Do you know I'm still susceptible to that stuff? So the first time they have this thing going on, and really all it is, it's a money-making deal. Get you buy more stuff. But man pumps it up. Puts a false expectation out there. You can win. Yeah. And so there you go. There you go. You go, yeah, yeah. You start doing playing the game. It's like McDonald's Monopoly game type. Oh, yeah, you go. You play. And you never win. When it is man, you never win. Now you may deceive yourself thinking you've won something, that you've gained something of value, but you've won nothing. Because it's a false hope, it's a false expectation. God is faithful. True expectation, a true hope, a firm. We'll be looking at something like that in a second. So anyway, after all that thing went on, I thought, you know what? I can't believe I fell for it all over again. Thy faithfulness. Man, if it were up to me, I wouldn't be here. I have no idea where I'd be. I'm coming to know more and more what John says. He says that, you know, I don't know about y'all, and I've heard him share this several times, and you'll probably remember this. He'll say, "I can't function without Christ. I can't function." I'm beginning to realize that too. See, I wasn't into heavy drugs or anything like that. I was a good boy. I was a mama's boy. I wouldn't do anything to hurt my mother. You know what? There was a time, I guess it's the first time it'll be on tape, that there was a time when I was introduced to pot. And okay, yeah, all right, whatever. I remember coming home one night. My mom sat me down at the kitchen table. She said, "Jimmy, have you been doing drugs? Have you been smoking marijuana or whatever she called it?" And I sat there and cried. You know what she told me? "If that's what you want to do, then just do it at home, where you won't get hurt." I never did that again. She didn't tell me to stop. She just didn't want me to get hurt. I was a mama's boy. And yet, even with all that, I cannot function apart from Christ. As the Lord continues to show me His mercy, as He continues to be merciful unto me, I begin to know that more and more. I'm only deceived when I don't. I love the Lord, and it's not because I'm being a goody-two-shoes or anything like that. No, it's because He first loved me. I found something in Him that I'd never found before the age of 20. You know, religion? No, I did that deal. I could stand it. I'd spit it out. I tried doing the religious thing before I was born again. And sometimes even afterwards, after I was born again. But there's a huge difference between Him and everything else. A huge difference. I'm so thankful that when I wake up in the morning, I don't have a picture of my wife on the pillow beside me. I married you a person. I'm joined to a person. And so are we. A Him. A Him. I know that some of the things that I'm going to share is, I share this with a class, and the times that I share, this is all I share. This is all that's been on my heart. If you don't believe me, you can learn Spanish, or if you already know Spanish, you can check them out. But there's liberty that's there with those that I share in Spanish, and I'm just going to say that, well, our hearts are for the Lord, so I'm going to say that the liberty has to be here as well. Every time anyone or anything does something, they do it with a goal in mind. They have a goal in view. They have a goal. What I was talking about just earlier, that this one particular business puts on a game so people, you know, can come play the game. Yeah, do people win? Yeah, you know, you win maybe some coupons, some money. Yeah, I heard that someone won an iPad or something. That's a great deal. You know, just go shopping to the grocery store. I won an iPad. That's a good deal. So, but everyone has a goal with what they do. That goal is money, right? Well, each one of us here has a goal as well. I have a goal. I'm going to share with you my goal. I'm going to share with you my goal because I don't only believe that it is my goal, I believe it is the goal for every single soul that is born again. You've heard me say this 1,000 times. It's Acts chapter 26, verse 16, the James Murdoch translation of the Syriac Peshitta. For I, not a message, not a teaching, not a sermon, not a preaching, for I, see, Paul had everything else before Christ appeared, right? He had a teaching, he had a sermon, he had a message, he had the wisdom of man, and yet he did not have a person. For I have appeared unto thee, not a teaching, not a new lesson, not a new sermon, not a new thing to add to what you have. What you have is man. What I am is God. It's either man or it is God. It's either you or it's either me. I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to constitute thee a minister and a witness of this. Because whether we believe this or not, we are all ministers of what we have witnessed, of whatever we've witnessed. Minister is just what, I'll put it to you this way. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Is that the verse? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. There you go, minister. Whatever's in your heart, that's what you will minister. What's in your heart is based on what you've witnessed. Before that time, Paul witnessed the face of man. That's what he ministered. A religion. Anything that's not Christ is a religion. Why? Because it is a concept of God. It's man's concept of God. It's man's thought concerning God. It's man's high thought concerning God. But it's not the person. Yeah, you can have a great license, you know, someone's driver's license, you can have someone's passport, you can have someone's bio, their autobiography, or a biography. You can study it, you can learn it, you can even share it with other people. I mean, that's what the two guys on the road to Emmaus did. They were telling Jesus about Jesus. They were dishing out everything they knew about him. And I love the way Raymond said it. He was there the whole time. And they're just completely ignorant. Was it up to them? No. They're not faithful. You want to see our faithfulness? Jesus said this day, or it was either this day or this night, you will all deny me. Smite the shepherd, the sheep will be scattered. You will all forsake me. Here we go. Mustering up everything out of man's faithfulness, man's ability, man's desire, man's passion, man's anything. I will not deny you, Lord. Though all these deny you, I will not deny you, Peter. Well, you don't know. You don't know yourself. You don't know man, Peter. You don't know man because you don't know me. See, God doesn't call us to know man. He calls us to know his Son. I love the Lord. I love the Holy Spirit. We're going to look at some verses in a second. The Spirit of the Lord. I love this word. In the King James, I think it's... I forgot what it said. He will convict. He will, there it is, reprove. I love that. I love that. I love that. Why? Because he has a goal too. He will take that which is of mine and declare it unto you. He will testify of me. He will testify of me. He will testify of me. He will testify of me, a person. And see, that's all I want. I want a person. Because after a while of being deceived, I finally say, you know what? My thought, my little lesson, my teaching is not working. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. It's what it is, it's called mixture. We've added something impure to what God purpose for one thing, to testify of his Son. We've added something to the mix, and therefore it doesn't work. Jesus said this. He said, I know you search the scriptures because in them you think you have eternal life. Throw out any other term. In them you think you have righteousness. In them you think you have faithfulness. They are there to testify of me. But see, he doesn't stop there. He says this, and you will not come to me. You've come to the scriptures. You've come and grabbed your message. You come in and grabbed your concept. But you haven't come to me. And I love the Spirit of the Lord. Because though we come short, though we remain short, he is faithful. He is faithful. He is faithful to the goal, to the prize, to the above invitation of God, the above, the high calling of God in the person of Christ Jesus. That's what he's called to do. This, thy seeing me, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to constitute thee a minister and a witness of this, thy seeing me. I love the way he translated that. You can check this out. Check it out. I before I found this translation, I tore that verse apart with an interlinear. I'm not a Greek scholar by any means. But with God, he's not talking about things. He never talks about things. They are they which testify of me. A person. A person. Of this thy seeing me, and of thy seeing me hereafter. From this point on. From this point on. What else is there? Nothing. Nothing. It gets boring. It gets frustrating. It gets hopeless when we are seeing everything but him. It does. I know it does for me. But the Lord is faithful. The Spirit of the Lord is faithful. God is faithful to his Son. The Spirit of Christ. The Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of truth. The Holy Spirit is faithful to the Son as well. God is faithful. God is faithful. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. And we only confess that in the morning. His mercies are new every morning. No, his mercies are new. And that verse used to bother me. He's not being more merciful than what he already is. We just don't know how merciful he is. Every morning, every appearing of the person, we realize how merciful he is. We realize how gracious he is. In Kings, I love this. Elijah is the whole Mount Carmel thing. All of Israel joined to Baal. Baal means master. Baal means Lord. It's the wrong man. The wrong husband. I don't know. Maybe the Lord was just merciful with Elijah and maybe the 300 or 500 that the Lord had. Whatever the case was, it was the Lord's faithfulness. Because Elijah confesses it. In his prayer, Lord, let this people know that I didn't do this of my own accord. It wasn't in my heart to do this. I didn't do this. You did this. And he finishes it with this. And that thou, you, have turned their hearts back unto you again. They didn't do this. I didn't do this. You did this. Great is thy faithfulness. I love that. That's like the Holy Spirit coming and convincing us. That's what he does. He convinces us. He puts us back in line. He does this to me all the time. That I allow him. And I'm thankful to the Lord. He's like, well, if you got it all together, then I can't help you. You got it all together. I didn't come for those who need not a physician, but for those who do. You know, you can see it in the Gospels. Those who cried out for mercy. Basically, those who in themselves found themselves in a state that they could not change. It was not in their power to change their condition. Well, for us, the condition has changed. It came at new birth. At new birth, not I, but Christ. At new birth, what the Lord did, I think it's like John, Jason mentioned it a little bit. It's in John, I think it's chapter 2. The Lord comes in, cleans the temple, and he alone remains. The glory of God fills the house. You know how? Quicker than that. Quicker than that. And all activity, all man, is gone. Yeah. Instantly, at the moment of new birth, that's what happens. You say, well, it doesn't seem that way. I don't feel like that way. It's just, things aren't governing me. I still have myself in view. What's up with that? I think it's, forgive me, it's either Amos or Habakkuk, one of those. I've been kind of reading different parts. See, in Exodus, I think the Lord says something like this, surely my glory shall fill the earth. He says that in Exodus. When they refuse to go in, when they refuse to be obedient to the testimony that they're to be of Christ. Right? Because that's what the Son does. At the moment of new birth, the Son comes in to take possession of what is rightfully His. And they would not be that. See, we don't have to be that. We're just the land. He's the one who comes in at the moment of new birth. And then later on in Isaiah, all this, I saw the Lord high lifted up, and His glory filled the temple. The train of His robe filled the temple. And then you hear this. You don't hear the declaration of man. You hear the declaration, the heavenly declaration, the celestial declaration, the above declaration. You hear this. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory. Whether it looks like it or not, whether the earth is aware of it or not, we don't change God's mind. No. Our mind changes with our concepts. And let me just say this. It will either be the mind of Christ or it will be your mind. If it's your mind, it will never be the mind of Christ. Governing. And yet, if it is the mind of Christ, you have nothing to glory in your own. Your glory is in the Lord. Because you recognize, that's not my mind that's governing. It's His. All I'm left with is, thank you, Lord, for Thy faithfulness. Then it's either in Amos or Habakkuk. Like I said, forgive me. It's one of those, I think. It says, the knowledge of the glory of the Lord shall fill the earth as the waters cover the sea. That's what's lacking. The knowledge of the glory of the Lord. The knowledge of the glory of the Lord that fills, as was declared in Isaiah, already fills the house. Now it is the knowledge will fill the whole earth. As the waters cover the sea. Completely, perfectly. Idols, high places. You can search all those terms out. There are concepts, our imaginations. An idol is my concept of God, what I believe Him to be until He appears. And I use the term appear when God reveals His Son. Because see, no man can do that. Only God reveals His Son. No man. Only God. He's faithful. He's faithful to His Son. And we are just so ignorant of this one Son. We know a lot of things. We are just ignorant of this one Son. Why? Because we cannot study enough to learn Him. Impossible. I had a question that I was going to ask you, that I was going to ask before I started to forgive me. It's all out of order now. It's all right. But I'll just ask it. Please don't. Sometimes I ask questions and I expect responses and I say, come on. I won't do that this time. I just want you to think. I just want you to think. I just want you to think. Because this is a conference time. Sometimes, depending on what type of situation it is, I present this is such and such situation. Or I just finished this class. Let me ask you the question. Okay. This is a conference time. I just want you to think. Don't write it down. Just the first thing that comes to your mind. Just think whatever pops into your head after I ask this question. What have you learned? Okay, going on. That's all I wanted to do. God is faithful to His Son. And I love that. I love that. I love that. It is a beautiful, I've heard it several ways, but I'm actually knowing it in the true way that it is to be. It's a walk of repentance. True repentance is when the heart turns to the Lord. It's not when the person stops doing this. Because if a person stops doing this, they're going to do this over here that is better or seemingly better, and yet there's been no repentance. Is repentance a bad thing? No, it's a lifestyle. But do you know? Remember what I said about a while ago, Elijah? You cannot repent unless the Lord brings about repentance. Think about that. You cannot turn your heart to the Lord except the Lord turn your heart unto Him. You cannot even cry out that He would turn your heart unto Him except He show you that your heart is not turned unto Him. And there's the work of the Holy Spirit. He will come to convince. See, we always, forgive me, I haven't studied the Greek out on this, but we always have it, He's the parakletos, the paraclete, right? And we say, oh, he's like an attorney. He's like my lawyer. He's arguing my cause before the Lord. Here's the enemy, here's me, and the Holy Spirit comes, and He's going to argue my cause. No, He's not. He's not faithful to you. He's not faithful to me. He's not faithful to your goal. He's not faithful to my goal. He's faithful to God's goal. He will argue God's cause to convince you either you're hitting it or you're missing it. The way He comes is not, you need to stop doing that. No, that's man. That's religion. That's man. I grew up with that. And we didn't even go to church. No, I'm serious. No, no. His ways are not our ways. He is completely other. He is not like us. He's clean. Oh, He's so pure. He's clean. There's none like the Lord. No, there's none like Him. There is none like You, O Lord. There is none like You. In all the heavens and in all the earth, there is none like You. You can search, listen to this, you can search the heavens, the heavenly things, you can search this earth, and you will also come to find that there is none like the Lord. Oh, He's beautiful, He's clean. holy, holy, holy. No, the Holy Spirit comes drawing. What he does, he draws the attention of our heart. Draws all the attention of our heart. He draws it and he places it on a person. But see, you don't know who the person is except you see their face. We have no clue who the person is. Oh, the voice may sound kind of familiar, I think. But until you see the face, you don't know who the person is. See, seeing the face of Christ isn't some message or some, yeah, this is what we have to do, like yeah, now we need to sweep the floor. Or, yeah, now we need to search this verse out. Now we need to study this one in the original terms or whatever. No. It's coming to the person. The person. He's a person. Him. That's what we read. Him. Thy. Him. 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 A person. Excuse me. I need these every once in a while. Brother Arliss knows. All right. You want to find out the ministry of God? It's very simple. You find it at the baptism of Jesus. Very simple. There you find the whole ministry of God. It is His ministry. I guess if it is His ministry, that means it's not your ministry. It's not my ministry. That was the whole situation with Korah. They wanted to do the Lord's ministry. They wanted to minister. No. That's what He does. That's what He does. But how can we know what He does except we see Him? Impossible. We'll try to just do what He does. Someone said it. Yeah, we'll try to. Hey, what must we do to do the works of God? That's what they asked Jesus. Here's His response. This is the work of God. That you may know. You want to do something? This is what you need to do. That you may know Him whom He hath sent. And yet, even in that, He's declaring something that you cannot do. Because all your studying is not going to get you there. No. Great is thy faithfulness. See, He has to convince us that we have no power in and of ourselves. He has to come and convince us that only He can do this. I mean, we know the story with the man. What must I do to have... eternal life. What must I do? Okay, you want a list of do's and don'ts? Do this, do that, do that. It's like Jesus taking a picture of Himself. I'm just going to say stuff. I don't know. Brown hair, light hair, locks, brown eyes. I don't know. He's describing Himself. And here's how we present. Here's how we come to the Lord. I've done that, Lord. Okay. You lack this one thing. Go sell everything you have. Give it to the poor. He didn't leave it there. And come follow me. Not the things that you've done. No. Come follow me. And he went away sad. And see, we can't do those things anyway. See, I will use the vernacular that Paul used. We will not let go of our dung. You can't. You can't. When that's all you see, it's precious. That's all you have. And the Lord isn't the big boogeyman that comes to take things away. That's not the order of the Spirit. The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. In His giving, it is taken away. The condition of the soul with no life, the Lord giveth the condition of life. He giveth His Son. In the Son being present, the condition of death is taken away. It's just automatic. I mean, just in the natural, you turn these lights on, all the darkness is gone. But see, even with that, God isn't like a light bulb. He's not even an understanding. He is a person. In Him was the light. In Him. And you will not come to me. Oh, but I found it, Lord. It? A thing? You've yet to come to me. So here's Jesus coming to John. It's like coming to John, to me, I don't know about you guys, John is like the testimony. He has one purpose for existing. No, he was not that light. He was sent to testify of the light. Right? The testimony is light, but he was not the true light that lighteth every man. But he was to testify of that light. So here comes Jesus. And right there, it's just in type. Death, burial, resurrection, right? He's baptized, comes out of the waters, in type, in figure. He's in resurrection. And here we go. Here's the Holy Spirit drawing the attention of the heart of whosoever will and placing it upon a person. And he remains upon a person. Not on a thing. This thy seeing me and thy seeing me hereafter. Upon a person. And when the heart turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. And God is pleased. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And then Jesus begins to declare himself, I am. That is the goal. He does it. Brings your heart. See, you cannot bring your heart yourself. We saw it. I mentioned it with Elijah. Lord, that thou hast turned their heart. And I've heard Raven share it in Ezekiel. Oh, the Spirit brought me. That means you can't do it. It's the Spirit of God that even has to convince you you can't do it. See, when the rich young ruler came to Jesus, he just went away sad. Because he was convinced he could not do it. And yet he did not come to Jesus. The only one who can. Peter says it. Well, if he can't do it, we're all in bad shape. And here's the Lord's response. Here's the Lord's response. You're not going to find it in man. With man, it's impossible. With man, it's impossible. With man, but you didn't learn that. You're not convinced of that. I'm not convinced of that. We still think it's possible. We still do. It takes the Spirit of the Lord to convince us otherwise. Till we find ourselves like that impotent man, you know, by that pool, and the Lord comes. He's the one who comes to his own. He's the one who comes to seek and save that which is lost to his purpose for which he was created. Comes speaking to our heart until we finally confess. Because of the dealing of the Spirit, because of the Holy Spirit just convincing us of the truth, convincing us, hey, here's the goal. And I think it was, forgive me, it might have been Ezekiel, that they may be ashamed. Show the house to the house. Show the house to the house. Well, for what purpose? That they may be ashamed, because they have their eyes on the wrong house. They have their eyes on the wrong person. That they may be ashamed. Forgive me, Lord. I've been looking at the wrong object. I've had the wrong object in view this whole time. And I can't even place my heart on the correct object. I can't even turn my own heart. I think it is just not within my ability. I'm pretty much impotent, powerless. And yet I recognize you're the only one who can do that which no man can do. Turn my heart unto you, Lord. Turn, Father, my heart unto your Son, unto the person of your Son. That's what the man said. Here comes Jesus. He knew his condition. I don't know how many years he'd been there. He knew his condition. Well, see, there's just no man. When the waters stir, there's no man that can come and place me in there in time. There's just no man that can do it. I can't do it, and no man can do it for me. And here's the great mercy of God. Take up your mat and walk. Don't walk in what you can do. You can't walk. There's no strength in you to walk. In me is strength. In me. Not in my message. Not in anyone's message. The Lord is my strength. In Him will I hope. In Him is my expectation. There's so much he, him. Everything. If it is, of God, it will bring to the person of Christ. If the thing, whatever it is, if it is of God, it will, without doubt, bring to the person of Christ. It will. Every time. Every time. Because that's what He does. That's what He does. There's another thing that Jesus said, I think it's in John chapter 6. He said, no man, I've been on that little phrase, just no man. It's I love the phrase. I did a search on it. The first verse that caught my attention was in Genesis, of all places. I wasn't even, you know, thinking of it in this way. But the first verse that caught my attention, where it says the phrase no man, was with Joseph. He said he could not constrain himself any longer, and he caused all to leave. And it says no man was present when he made himself known unto his brethren. And they lifted up their eyes, and they saw no man save Jesus only. I love that. I love that. In John chapter 6, he says this: no man can come to me except the Father draw him. And I know the verse goes on, but he says it plain and clear. No man can come to me except the Father draw him. No man. When the Lord first draws our heart unto Him, we come unto Him the first. You say, we come unto him, and now the all things of God, or better yet, the Son, appears in the soul. And yet we are continue. That's what Jesus said. Come, follow me. Come, 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 come. And yet in John chapter 6 he says, no man can come. See, that's the difference between our coming to the Lord and his bringing us to his Son. There's a huge difference. With one, it just doesn't work. Right? It doesn't work. I know that. You know that. It doesn't work. Oh, give it some time. You'll find out it doesn't work. You'll be frustrated and you'll try to figure out. You'll try to figure out. With the Lord, there's no figuring out. He doesn't have to figure anything. He has one in view. He has one object. It is continually before his face, and he presents that object unto us, that same object, his Son, may be continually before ours. No man can come to me except the Father draw him. And we get upset a lot of times with whatever. I know I get upset a lot of times. Actually, I got upset Monday morning because John and Raven, they're sharing. I'm thinking, God, what do I have to say then? They're saying everything that I was going to say. Oh, yeah, haughty, aren't I? Thinking it's my word that needs to be heard. Oh, he let me stay with that for a little bit. Is it what you're trying to say? No. It's what I'm trying to say. It's what I'm trying to get across. It's what I'm trying to convince in the mouth of two or three witnesses that are seeing the same one, that will most likely declare the same one. They're like, oh my God, forgive me. I almost had a ministry. Praise God. I'm so thankful that his ministry endures. His ministry is upon a firm foundation. Ours is not. It's either yours or it's his. You can choose. But when you're convinced to the Lord, and it's only when you see the true, when you see the greater, when you see the true riches in a person, that you say, you know what? This stinks. Here, let me wash my hands. Let me not just toss it. Let me wash my hands. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. When he reveals his Son in the heart, he giveth the understanding, the heavenly understanding. It's his own understanding. It's called the mind of Christ. It's not called my mind. It doesn't make my mind any better. It doesn't make your mind any better. It's his mind. And when his mind governs, my mind is taken away. And I don't know about you, but I'm so very thankful when he does that. He doesn't come to take away. He comes to give. But unless you see what he gives, to you it is like taking away. And yet he remains faithful. He remains the same. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. The Holy Spirit come to convict, to reprove, convince, is to convince us. To convince us. The Lord has one goal. It's his Son. His Son. The only beloved of the Father. His Son. A person. And anytime I'm not, it's like archery. Anytime I'm not hitting the goal, He comes to redirect that I may hit the goal. And you know what? I'm very thankful when he does that. Because I have not found one on this earth, not even in myself, that compares to him. I have not found that in any man. I have not found that in man, period. Great is thy faithfulness. I'm going to go ahead and turn to John chapter 6, because there's part of the verse I wanted to read. I can quote it, but I think I'm going to quote it wrong. I think I quote it wrong. Yeah. It's John chapter 6, verse 45. I like this. It is written in the prophets, I think it's Jeremiah, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard, you got to hear. That's very specific. That hath heard and hath learned. Remember my question? What have you learned? One or the other. Either or. It's always like that. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. I'm finding myself more and more knowing less than I thought I knew every time. It's funny, you would think that you'd be learning more or knowing more. I'm just kind of the opposite. I'm coming to know that I'm actually knowing less. Because unless by the mercy and grace of God, through the Spirit of the Lord, my heart turn unto the person of Christ, I've actually learned nothing. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh to me. See, I can come to a teaching, I can come to a message, I can come to a study very easily. That comes natural to me. But I cannot come unless the Father draw me to the Son. What does He want me to learn? What does He want us to learn? What is His goal? What does He want us to know? No man save Jesus only. He did not give us a message. He gave us a person. He did not bless us with this great teaching. The blessing is a person. Life is found in a person. There's this one last verse that I do want to read, and I printed it out somewhere, but I'm not going to be able to find it. So I'm just going to flip over here real quick. And Brother Lumen may have already shared this verse, but this is kind of how this verse is working in my own heart. It's 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, by his coming. And by our gathering together unto him. Nothing less than him. Nothing less than him. The Lord directs my heart. I believe he desires to direct all hearts unto nothing less than him. Coming? How do you come to the Lord? When the Father draws you and the Spirit of the Lord brings you in your heart, because you can't do it. The Spirit brought me. Turns your heart unto the person. The veil is removed. You see a person. You see a person. I think as I mentioned from the beginning, I'm very thankful for the faithfulness of the Lord. He's the one who does this. He's the only one who does this. I don't do this. You don't do this. No man. No man. He is faithful to the Son. He remains faithful. He's the only one who's faithful, and I'm so thankful for that. If it were up to us, we'd be in bad shape. Praise God for his faithfulness to his Son and nothing less. And I'm so thankful for that. I think that's it. The Lord bless you all. I usually, in my own heart, just stay with this thought in my heart. Lord, just do what no man can do. Do what it pleases you to do. Do that which only you can do. Even after I'm convinced of what you do, do that which only you can do. For thy glory, for thy name's sake. Amen.